is about, what brand aspiration is about. So any kind of information as much as possible, straight up front about what it is, who it is they're targeting, what is their story, what is their USP, that can be super helpful for any kind of SEO strategy, particularly around content and storytelling.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with the format, well, every five episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method. And in each episode, a new one released every Wednesday, I interview a different expert to explore a different way of making that marketing method work for you. Now, before we get into today's SEO episode, I want to do a thank you to one of you listeners. Hello, Melanie Wynn, D2C Growth Specialist. You did an awesome post on LinkedIn sharing your takeaways of our recent episode with Anna Frapwell. I thought it was an awesome post, and it's always so, so cool to see our listeners writing what you think about our episodes. It really helps me and it makes the team feel really smug and happy too. So thank you, Melanie Wynn. Much appreciated. Now, at the moment, we are picking up the SEO thread again. And in this episode, we're doing something a little bit different. So this is probably, I mean, much of what we're going to talk about in the main interview section of this would be relevant, whatever sort of project you're trying to get happening, because we're going to be talking about how do you go about making your SEO project successful? How do you break down the barriers to getting your roadmap, your plans to actually happen? Mainly talking about this from an enterprise company standpoint, so big businesses, but there's a lot here, whether you've got one boss or 20 bosses, there's a lot here you're going to get and you're going to find useful. So we will be talking about how you break down the silos, what sort of reporting you want to do, how you manage those difficult conversations, and lots of other interesting tidbits from our guest today. And his insider tips, those questions we ask at the end, are absolutely superb. There's some brilliant resources, recommendations, and points of view in there. So definitely stay till the end so you can hear those too. And of course, at the end, I'll share my advice on the whole thing and outline a couple of other ways we can help you too. So enjoy the episode.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
In this episode, I'm chatting with SEO expert Owen Lloyd Williams. Owen has been in the SEO industry for 15 years, working on all sorts of projects, from software and marketplaces to travel and e-commerce. Since 2020, he's been an independent SEO consultant, running a wide range of SEO projects, delivering sizable traffic and sales uplifts. Hello, Owen.
Hey, Chloe. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Great to have you here. And I love the topic you suggested we should do, because I think it's always really cool to talk how to get more links and all those kind of like the SEO core, but actually getting the buy-in to your projects and getting the agreement to do what you need to do to make all that possible is often the biggest stumbling block. So we'll get into that in a moment. First off though, how did you end up in the lovely world of SEO?
Well, I'm going to have to repeat quite a tired age-old trope that I'm sure you've heard many people in my kind of periphery say, which is I very much fell into it. You know, I guess I kind of started off kind of my professional career. I graduated with a degree in English literature. This is an old time ago, just around the time of the credit crunch. And so I had that kind of, I guess, basis in kind of writing and I guess communication and a passion for the written word, which I think definitely kind of helped serve some of my career later on. But I got into it. It's a bit of a long tangential story. So I moved out to China back in 2009. Did the whole kind of, you know, teach English as a foreign language type thing for a couple of years, got into the language there, and then ended up kind of working on a couple of online magazines that were targeted at expats. Ended up editing one, probably one of the lesser known ones out there that kind of was primarily a jobs board first, but did a lot of translation of articles from Chinese into English and a lot of kind of like editorial opinion content. And it was then that I kind of had worked with this developer that kind of got me into what was SEO and kind of things like very basic stuff like, you know, meta titles and meta descriptions of things like that. So that was my kind of first interface with that. And then when I moved back to the UK, sort of 5 years after I first was in China, I got picked up by a boutique marketing agency who were looking for someone with, I guess, some vague digital background, which is what I had accrued at that point, and who spoke Chinese. And that kind of got me into the industry, got me on a project, but I kind of quickly got on to other things like content writing, using, going back to that literature skill that I had from the beginning of my career. And then kind of just all went from there, really, just ended up doing things around, you know, more technical stuff, more content stuff, and then just, yeah, went up through the industry. So yeah, long tangential story, but here we are. And yeah, that kind of ended up me specializing in China SEO quite early in my career, and something that I still do a little bit of, you know, on the side here, but I'm very much kind of, yeah, broad, I guess, all round and SEO kind of consultant guy these days.
So it must have been quite cool coming at it from almost being the client when you were editing the online magazine, because you were like, we need more traffic, how do we do this? Apparently someone mentioned SEO, we better talk. And now you're on the opposite side. So do you think, I mean, admittedly, it was a few years ago now, but having that client perspective from the beginning has given you a better focus on how to deliver the results, because you have some idea of what it's like to be in their shoes.
I think it was something that I completely was oblivious to at the time, because I was just keen to get on the ladder and keen to, I had like kind of, you know, aspirations to get into journalism, to get into kind of, you know, digital editing and things like that. And I was trying to submit freelance articles left, right and center on opinion pieces on China, on politics and things like that. But I guess that kind of came into my periphery a bit later on in my career, because I started off primarily working with agencies, which is very much a client servicing type thing. And then I moved in-house. So lots of SEO consultants make this journey. They kind of might start off agencies and exec type roles and move up to account management, and then move up to, I guess, account directors before going in-house, before becoming consultants, which is very much the path that I took. So I definitely kind of came into that view, and I guess had a bit of a learning curve later on in my career, actually, when I first had a relatively big in-house role when I was running an SEO team. And was very much coming at it from, well, I worked in an agency, so I know how to deliver X, Y, Z, and I'm very quick at what I do. But it wasn't necessarily what the stakeholders wanted, or what the real kind of, you know, the real, I guess, key conversion points were for that business at that given time, which is, I guess, what we're going to talk about today at some point.
Very much what we're going to talk about today. So what is, I mean, like, I could make a lot of guesses as to what the biggest stumbling blocks are on getting SEO plans actually happening, but what is the common pushback at the moment? Is it the obvious, oh, we don't need to bother with SEO anymore because AI is there, that opinion? Or are there other elements that you're finding the projects you're involved with and that you're hearing about are hitting again and again? What are these barriers at the moment?
So I think there's the buy-in is an interesting phrase, I guess. I would always assume, I guess, it doesn't necessarily like kind of refer to actually getting stuff done, because if you're an SEO consultant who's been hired within a business or externally or as a firm partner, there's already that buy-in there. The business understands that they need to do SEO and they need to kind of grow an organic search or visibility on Google or wherever it happens to be. I think when I talk about buy-in, it's often, you know, you want to change this piece of content, you want to kind of release this new feature, this new component, particularly enterprise sites that have kind of big restrictive tech stacks and limited resource. I think, you know, that can often be the kind of pushback. So I think it's often down to, yeah, getting the resource, proving the value of it. I mean, there's always going to be an appetite for SEO, but it's very much kind of, you know, being very data-driven on what you're doing and kind of, you know, making sure that like whatever you're suggesting, be it a one-off implementation or a kind of overarching strategy, is underpinned by serious data that kind of, you know, I guess burns the ears of kind of more general marketing stakeholders, CMOs, you know, marketing directors that want to see very much bottom of funnel metrics. I guess SEO, when you come into it, you kind of think immediately about traffic and rankings, which is great. That's kind of the bread and butter of what we should be doing, although perhaps that's about to change a little bit with AI overviews and AI integration in search. But I guess that's how we kind of often come into situations within kind of new businesses as SEO consultants. It's looking for traffic opportunities or ranking improvements, things like that, which is totally fine. I mean, that's very much what we should be optimizing for. It's what we're paid for. But that often doesn't necessarily kind of light up the eyes of the person that's putting their neck on the line to kind of spend that resource, be it kind of marketing resource, budget, literal money, or actually kind of dev resource or content resource when they could be doing something else, you know. So it's often down to us to kind of really hone in on those metrics that matter and underpin everything with data, I think, as much as we can.
So is it often the case that one of the first things that has to be done with a new project is actually building in the reporting activity in whatever format that takes, so that the person who's hired you or the person who sits above the person who's hired you, which is often where the bigger challenge can be. Is it a case of putting in the reporting and the metric systems and all of that, and maybe even project management systems at that point in order to make sure the proof of the pudding is easily explained and that you're proving the right part of the pudding?
Yeah, I think that's a very good approach to kick off with rather than kind of flying blind. And I guess the kind of caveat on that front is that oftentimes businesses who may hire an SEO consultant or see that as an opportunity or have an budget allocation for SEO might not necessarily know the metrics they need. I guess that kind of contradicts what I said a few minutes ago, but it's very much on us to kind of set that up. And, you know, it's very much on us to kind of understand and convey the message as to what is important for SEO. What does good SEO look like beyond your kind of vanity metrics like traffic and impressions and things like that? What is it the business really wants to care about? So yeah, 100%, I would very much be looking to kick that off very early, get a system of agreed KPIs and frame that a dashboard so that's always there, and over communicate as much as possible on that, I think, as much as possible.
And you say about the vanity metrics, I imagine sometimes in a project, she says with a wry smile, that you end up in a situation where you've got the metrics you actually care about, and then you've got some other metrics that have to be on the report because the owner or the boss or the founder cares about them, which I would imagine is mostly rankings on a pointless keyword. Because, you know, there's a point back when I had my agency, you know, there's a point at which you can't keep pushing the client to understand what they actually should care about, and you have to just kind of run with it. Do you find it easy to find that point, or does it always change? Because I always think there's a role as a consultant or an agency, and you should push back. But there comes a point when you just realize you're never going to change their opinion.
Yeah, I think it's kind of spinning both plates at the same time. So I would definitely kind of be very guilty over the course of my career delivering reports that might have those aforementioned vanity metrics, not to kind of dumb those down. They're still very important. And I guess the kind of key thing is off the back of that, if a client is wanting to see this keyword report in that particular area, or this kind of filtered report on non-branded search terms across that part of their website, whether or not that aligns with what you think is important as the consultant, you can push back on that very much so. I think I would always encourage to be direct and kind of say, well, you know, you're obviously being paid to kind of convey what the important things are for organic search strategies. But there also does come a point where, well, they're showing interest. They're asking questions about the report. They're kind of keen to see that number. Is this not good for me overall getting momentum and getting things done? You know, so that's kind of the key kind of tactics that I guess yeah, one of the main things is getting that momentum, getting that buy-in to kind of get stuff done. And I've done this before with kind of tool integration, for example. So one of the things that I've had quite success with before in big businesses is getting a budget for like a big kind of enterprise tracking tool that will deliver ongoing reports to separate stakeholders across a whole manner of things, whether that's kind of technical errors or page ranking updates or, you know, search ranking updates. And you'll invariably get back questions from people that might have a little bit of knowledge about SEO, but may not be on the right track in terms of what the overarching strategy is. But that's fine. I think those kind of questions are conducive to getting stuff done, and you can kind of pick that up and steer it in the right direction as long as there's kind of interest and things like that. So those reports can be kind of super useful for that kind of thing. So I'm just getting momentum and getting interest into what you're doing.
So we've got the reporting mechanisms in front, which may or may not include getting new tools into the mix as well. Where do we go? What are the next kind of barriers or things we should be doing to make sure those projects, those roadmaps are going to be put in place? What's your next best advice?
So I guess to take an example from that, let's say we've got kind of interest, we've got kind of those reports in place, people are kind of asking us what's next. And I guess hypothetically, and this is something that I run into almost every big enterprise business, is you've got a big site, thousands of URLs, and it's built on, I guess, to, for want of a better phrase, a somewhat inflexible CMS, let's say, a lot of these systems are. You know, it's not what we're used to. And we have access limitations because there's all kind of levels of compliance. There's all kind of like branding rules, regulations, and we have to go through various hoops to actually even get the most basic change done in a very straightforward manner. So I guess I'd always think about what can I do here that can easily be kind of proved in terms of like proof of concept from data. And one thing I would look to across big sites specifically is, are there any kind of templated changes that I can make that kind of might be able to kind of be repurposed or refreshed across different areas of the website in one go, rather than doing kind of iterative smaller tweaks to, I guess, content blocks or deploying that FAQ section there or tweaking that, you know, I guess that redirect chain in that part of the site. Are there any areas based on the kind of my knowledge of the site, how the business is structured in terms of the dev resource and who looks after whatever the site? Are there any ways in which I can get stuff done on a bulk basis, kind of scalable ways, basically? And that's kind of one thing I would look to kind of approach. And then, yeah, just to kind of have on the side, like the proof of concept approach, having some sort of testing tool in place to make sure that everything that we've done, everything that has been deployed is being measured, is being tracked, whether that's tied to Google Search Console or analytics. And then that data can be very much put in front of the people. To prove that when it's done, whether that's been a success or not, I guess. So it's very much kind of, yeah, looking at things from a very templated basis, I think, and understanding how that relates to where people sit in the business.
I love that because it's like it's kind of like that vision you have of what you do before you know what's going on behind the curtain.
Yeah.
You know, and we can all sit here and pontificate about, oh, if I had that website, I would do X, Y, and Z. And then the curtains get pulled back and you discover that Roger owns that section of the website and Roger's never going to agree because he doesn't believe in the color green or something. And then you're like, oh, right, okay. So that's going to be a very long-term part of the project. It seemed like a five-minute fix, but it's now going to be a long-term project, essentially waiting until Roger retires to get that bit done. But then we'd have other areas where, oh, that's a template. Never thought that was a template. Brilliant. We can probably fix that bit. So there is always that kind of both the institutional learning element and the how the site's actually structured learning, which however much you've tried to learn from outside the curtain, you'll never really fully get to grips with when you're inside the curtain. So is part of it about kind of getting across those silos within the business and really kind of learning how you can make quick wins and easy wins and re-evaluating everything based on that internal knowledge that you gain within a project?
Yeah, so I think as modern day SEO consultants, we should be very much thinking about how we can kind of, I guess, traverse our inherent discipline as SEO experts into other areas of websites, of silos that sit across a business. You know, and that can be, because SEO these days will touch things like content, will touch things like UX, design, development, CRO, you name it. So that can be quite a good way to kind of break down silos. Obviously, we're kind of brought in because there's that budget need for an SEO consultant. But I guess with the way that search is changing in terms of, you know, like AI and things like that, and how search is represented in across the web, we're very much in a good position, I think, to kind of lean in and talk to other people across the business to kind of get stuff done and also make them look good. I think there's a lot to be said about kind of understanding, okay, so we're talking on a daily basis to this product manager who looks after that area of the website. He really cares about conversions on that particular element. He really wants people to click on that button or buy that product. You know, that's his dominion. What can SEO do to help him do that? I guess similarly, if we're talking to someone who is kind of involved in digital marketing, but also on the social media side, are there any kind of, I guess, advice we could give this person into leverage social media content or indeed digital PR type stuff that goes on a third party basis, and how that can potentially be, I guess, repurposed into SEO content and vice versa? So it's kind of broadly just thinking about, like, very much outside the silo, very much outside the funnel, and doing what we can to, I guess, kind of be that touch point that gets things moving across different parts of the digital ecosystem on a website.
It's almost kind of trading in goodwill, I suppose, isn't it? It's making sure you're helping around the business so they start to see that you're I guess building credit. So it's when you need something changed, people get it and they're ready to change it. For anyone listening who is in the process of hiring an SEO agency or an SEO consultant, what should they be putting together to enable the SEO consultant to do the best possible job for them? Because it's really, I figure we should kind of flip the question a little bit and take it back to, because you've just been talking about all the things you proactively do, but there's clearly a lot there which could be made ready for you so you can work faster and better and so on. So I guess, Owen, what I'm trying to say is, if you could send an email to every client in advance going, cheeky, I know, but could you possibly do this, this, and this before I start? What would those sorts of things be?
Yeah, so this is often a problem that comes up where I get someone getting in touch with me that knows they need SEO, understands the opportunity of the channel, but has, I guess, very little in terms of a brief or what it is they want to achieve in terms of KPIs. So I think the very first thing I want to start off with, and I guess most businesses should have this in some way, shape, or form, is, what is it that your product is solving? What is the pain points that, or the USP of your product, and what are your target demographics that can be across different pillars, perhaps like customer A, customer B, customer C, customer D, and how are you trying to reach them, and what has worked and what hasn't worked before across different channels? I mean, there's a lot of sharing. That's going back to my previous point. There's a lot of kind of shared knowledge we can do across, you know, paid search, paid social, you know, banner display ads, whatever it happens to be, you know, and that very much still feeds into the approach of the SEO strategy. Any kind of semblance of KPIs, always good. Obviously, I mentioned earlier that, you know, it can be up to us to kind of frame those and set the agenda early on. But I would like to kind of see perhaps some understanding of what they, you know, some idea of what good SEO looks like from their point. Obviously, as consultants, it's our job to kind of push back on that a bit and reframe that a bit so it steers it in the right direction. But that certainly gives, I guess, confidence for a conducive relationship. But you have that mutual understanding of what it is a business wants to do. So yeah, I think I would definitely start with it's to go back to somewhere, is to start with, like, kind of, you know, what is it, what pain points USP and how they're communicating that as a business, and what are the kind of core topic type demographics, who are they targeting, you know, how are they trying to target them, what has worked, what hasn't. I've been in a situation before, I've kind of been given a very, I guess, like a vague brief, or have agreed a terms of service of a client, and have approached it from my end, from the SEO consultant, looking at what their competitors are doing, looking at what is out there on the search results, whether it's a B2B client or a big enterprise client, and thinking, okay, well, this is what you need to do. This is what I'm coming up with for my content strategy. And they're like, oh, okay, that's great, we'll go ahead and do that. And invariably, it doesn't kind of get very far sometimes in terms of that kind of momentum that we talked about before, that senior buy-in, you know, because perhaps it isn't quite touching what the brand idea is about, what the brand aspiration is about. So any kind of information as much as possible straight up front about what it is, who it is they're targeting, what is their story, what is their USP, that can be super helpful for any kind of SEO strategy, particularly around content and storytelling.
I love that, because it's kind of what I often say when people are looking at their competitors, is that you're immediately making an assumption that the competitor knows what they're doing. And it's like, if you're only looking at what people have put on their website or what they've or what comes up through the SEO research of them, then you're assuming that they've done a good job with the website and that they've done a good job with the SEO. So going back to the horse's mouth, as it were, and asking, you know, who is the customer? What does the product do? And so forth makes so much sense, because at least then, you know, that you're talking in the right language. So, I mean, anything we've missed about kind of getting through those barriers in roadmaps and helping teams achieve what they want to do and get these SEO projects underway? Anything we've missed that the audience really needs to know about?
So I guess just going, but we touched on it briefly, that the kind of tooling aspect of SEO and how that can kind of play quite a kind of fundamental role in getting things moving, getting interest, understanding across the business. We touched on that briefly, I guess, in terms of the reporting aspect. But there's a lot of really good suppliers out there and documentation and ways in which you can set up a large enterprise SEO tool. And there's tons out there, things like Conductor, SEMrush, Ahrefs, to name a few. These can be embedded into the business in terms of kind of, I guess, churning out content recommendations, giving technical fixes, and people kind of be on board with them, within those environments, within the front end. And that can kind of often be an unblocker in what they're doing, whether that's content editing or dev fixing as well. So I think that, again, going back to the kind of key crux of the conversation around not sitting in silos, those tools can be a great kind of power.
Brilliant, Owen. I'm so glad I asked you for extra bits, because I think that's definitely one I know people get hung up on. So thank you for that. It's been great picking your brains about how to get buy-in and progress on your SEO plans. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Owen's insider tips on SEO and my suggestions for other ways we can help you further.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Okay, Owen, so far we've gone deep into how to get your SEO plans moving. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of SEO. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with SEO, which of course does include everything we've already been talking about. So Owen, are you ready for these?
Yes, far away.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
So 5 years ago, I would have said something that I certainly didn't do when I was starting out, which was build your own website, break stuff, fix stuff, try and rank stuff, see what works, see what doesn't work. And that's still very valid advice. I guess to tack on to that as well, learning a language, I don't mean a kind of, you know, a language like Chinese, but whether that's HTML, CSS, or JavaScript, or indeed Python, incredibly useful for kind of running scripts, building websites, and kind of doing advanced technical SEO as well. And that still would be my answer. But in addition to that, I would look to, if I was starting off, to get ahead. We're at like a real changing point, a real kind of inflection point in SEO at the moment with the, you know, with the emergence of AI overviews and Google announcing AI mode rolling out in a most recent I.O. last month, now hitting the shores in the US, shortly coming here in the UK, I'm very sure. I would understand how LLMs work. I would read as much as I can into kind of how these large language models are generating content, ingesting content, repurposing content, you know, and how we can kind of leverage is the wrong word because it sounds opportunistic, but use that in our strategies. You know, I'm finding myself, I made a big kind of change in my own user behavior last week by putting the ChatGPT app alongside my Google app in my kind of search box on my phone, which means I now kind of almost have equal parity between those two apps when I'm searching for things online. And I think if you want to get ahead, I think learning about how these models scrape the internet and generate content is a really good starting point. Anecdotally, I know that I've had some people in my field that have had leads off the back of these types of things as SEO consultants by literally writing out articles on LinkedIn or on their own blogs where they're listed as top SEO consultants. And it's fresh content. It's not based on invariably how many followers they have, or, you know, I guess how many backlinks their website has, like additional SEO metrics. It's based on how that language model has interpreted that content and how relevant it's seen to that particular query. And that can be quite powerful. So yeah, I would get on learning about LLMs.
Yeah, I love that as a piece of advice. Thank you. Now, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Favorite way to improve performance? I like doing the little things. So I'm a content writer at heart, and I still think this is super important. So particularly in the context of enterprise SEO, there are plenty of assets that a website might have. If we think about a large enterprise company in, let's say, travel or electronics or kind of B2C communications, whatever it happens to be, there's going to be loads of assets online that have been churned out over time that may have had, I guess, historical equity or kind of SEO juice, to use a somewhat archaic phrase. So I would always look to kind of see, okay, alongside what I'm doing new and reframing SEO strategies, are there any bits of content, long-form content, particularly in the kind of context of LLMs and the long-tail search, I could perhaps repurpose or bring up to speed? And that could be done quite quickly at scale as well. You know, that's something that I like doing is kind of trawling through old editorial articles, looking at kind of think pieces on blogs, on guides, things like that, that have kind of been sitting there for a while, that can often be quite powerful if they're brought up to speed and kind of, I guess, optimized and, you know, kind of modernized in some way. So that's my kind of favorite way of looking at ways to kind of bring, I guess, quick wins.
I like that. Really like that. Yeah, we've been going through a project this year of reviewing all our old content. It's endless, but you do find some gems in there, and you also find stuff that really shouldn't exist anymore, which is almost as good, as good and certainly therapeutic to get rid of. All right, if someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
Yes, yeah, so there are a number of new newsletters that I have recurring in my inbox on a weekly basis, just to call out a few of them. So Aleda Solis's SEO FOMO is a complete must-have. So that will arrive in your inbox Sunday night, I guess, depending on which time zone you're in. But it's there first thing on Monday for me to look at. And that will aggregate all of the best kind of thought pieces, and I guess free courses, SEO events, updates, news articles, or experiments that people across the SEO community have contributed. We're lucky to have a very generous and proactive community within our industry, the SEO industry. There's people pulling out writing all the time, and it's amazing, the generosity and the insight that people do, but it can be quite overwhelming. This is one way of just getting that onto one's place and having it in your inbox. Another one to call out would be the Women in Tech SEO newsletter as well that Areej W. Ali runs. So that similar sort of thing, it collates a kind of a lot of the kind of top stories, insights, blogs from people within the kind of the female space within the SEO industry. And finally, a shout out to the Core Updates newsletter from Mark Williams Cook and Jack Chambers Ward over at the Canda, that kind of gives a kind of breakdown as to what Google has done, I guess, kind of news around what kind of news-based industry stuff that is really important at this time when things are changing so quickly and there's things happening all the time around the hot topic of AI as well. So those would be the three that I would go for digitally. Books as well. I mean, there's a book called SEO. I've got it on my bookshelf over here. It's the one I've got is SEO in 2022, which will be very out of date now. But it's by David Bain over at Majestic. So he will collate on a yearly basis the kind of thoughts of leading voices within the industry and releases a yearly, I guess, polemical or publication around on the SEO, Monday SEO. The one for this year, definitely worth looking at, and indeed the one for next year as well, because so much has changed or indeed is changing. So that's one. You can grab that on Amazon for quite cheap. So I would look at that for sure.
Oh, loving those recommendations. Thank you, Owen. Finally, it's crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
So I'm eternally optimistic, and I'm very happy that SEO is going the way that it is, because there's been quite a lot of, I guess, kind of harbinging of death or doomsaying around this AI deployment, around how SEO is dead, and, you know, we're going to see our clicks drop off because the answers in the SERP, whether that's an AI overview mode or indeed the upcoming AI mode itself, or indeed from uptake and use of ChatGPT. And yeah, that could result in fewer clicks, fewer impressions, visibility. But I think that puts us more at the forefront in terms of being able to optimize for those positions as well. What I'm excited about in how SEO has changed, always changing under this context, is we're moving very far away from that kind of keyword-centric approach in terms of content. So, and even to this day, I do it, and it's, it can be quite boring when you're starting with a business and you're looking, okay, well, what keywords can I Google and or put into an SEO tool to kind of get some ideas from to inform content? It's often kind of two-tail terms, three-tail terms. And this is kind of very kind of, you know, it's still relevant, of course. We still want to keep an eye on those terms, but the opening up of these kind of more long-tail conversational search type models that ChatGPT and AI mode present us with, I think that diversifies the content opportunity into something which is much more, I guess, authentic, for want of a better word. As a writer myself, I'm loving that, and I'm having some success in getting my clients featured in those AI overviews where based on kind of fresh, modern, I guess, kind of long tail type content that answers that query, that intent. So I'm very kind of happy with the way that that's going. I think that there's opportunity for brands, regardless of how big or small they are, depends on the query, of course, particularly if they have non-branded space, if they've got a fresh opinion or a fresh data piece or a fresh research piece on a topic within their industry. I think they're well within their rights to think they can achieve that source, that coverage in an AI overview. But also for brands, it's going to be incredibly important too. It's clear that these LLMs, these GPTs are seeing brand as an authority, are seeing the importance of weight, I guess, within a particular space. So this is where, like, I think branded search is going to kind of rear its head once more, and signals around expertise, you know, authoritative and trust and things like that are becoming much more important. But yeah, I'm kind of all here for it, really. I think that the foundations of SEO haven't really changed, I guess, in terms of optimized websites, technically sound websites. That's all incredibly relevant, fast websites, etc. But from a content standpoint, I'm very excited about this brave new world around which we're seeing kind of more conversational type queries, conversational type content, which is hopefully going to weed out a lot of those ghastly listicles and top 10 type articles, which is, I guess, have polluted the web for so many years, you know.
I love your take on that. Thank you, Owen. Lots for us to think about, and a couple of things for us to test in there as well, which is unusual for the crystal ball answer. So loving that. Owen, we are very nearly at the end of the show, so it's time for you to let the listeners know where they can find out more about you and what you do and get in touch with you.
Yeah, sure. So I'm blessed with a kind of relatively unique name. I think it's just heavily Welsh, but there's only, I think, one of me in terms of, I guess, existing online. So yeah, I've got a website. I can be found at oloywilliams.com. If you just search my name, you'll find me, and that's where you can find out about all my kind of services across enterprise SEO, B2B. I do a bit of ghostwriting as well, and of course there's that China SEO USP, which I have as well. There's a few articles around that. When I can, I blog. I love writing, so not too frequently at the moment because I've been relatively busy, just had a new child, so that's keeping me kind of relatively busy on that front. But I occasionally release, I guess, thought pieces or experiments or, I guess, tests, weird things I see in the wild. But yeah, on LinkedIn too, so I will post quite a bit on LinkedIn about what I'm seeing, sharing articles, conversations I have with people, and kind of findings in the wild. And also on Blue Sky as well. I've got a presence on Twitter. I've stepped away from it a bit in recent years. Quite a few people have, but I'm still there. Still find me. There's ways in which you can reach me via that platform. But I would say, yeah, for the most part, Blue Sky, LinkedIn, and my own personal website.
There you go, everybody. Owen, thank you so much for being on the Keep Optimizing podcast. It's been awesome exploring this topic with you. So thank you for being here.
Very welcome. Thanks so much for having me.
Great to chat to Owen there, and lots of interesting ideas on how you can get your big projects happening, obviously. But also, how much did he manage to pack into the insider tips there? I think I've got more notes written about that than I do about our actual chat. So loads of great stuff there. Three great newsletters to be taking a look at. And I love I loved his thoughts about, you know, understanding the LLMs in the same way as if you're going to work in SEO, you want to understand how the search engines operate. Why wouldn't you want to understand how the LLMs operate? The bit that's having so much impact on everything at the moment. And I totally agree with his optimistic angle on what's in the future for SEO. You can get the links to all those things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, our notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct episode short links. Just put keepopt.com/the number of this episode, you know the drill, into the URL bar and you'll be redirected straight to the right episode page. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list. Why not? Join our newsletter too. Okay, thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this one, then why not go and have a listen to episode 200? Yeah, it's back a little way, where we're chatting with both the SEO agency and the client. Yes, two guests on for that one. And the client is Matt Henton from men's fashion retailer Moss. Because I think, you know, we're talking about big projects and how big projects come about with enterprise companies and so on and so forth. I think you'll really like that one. You can also find our full thread of SEO content by scrolling up your feed or use the short link keepopt.com/SEO. Please do tell your fellow marketers about the show because I want to help as many of you as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.